Log Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Sower. I'm the very Reverend Dr. Overseer Andrew Patrick with our Protestant Bible study this evening. I owe an apology to you off the bat. It is an unopportune time that a headache slash migraine starts to affect me, but it's taken this hour to be its choice. So I'm going to do everything I can to get through this show and this reading and lesson in meditation and discernment for you before it gets so far out of hand. But if I cringe from time to time or you hear something in my voice that doesn't sound quite right, that's what I'm dealing with. This is kind of an ironic reading tonight on Matthew chapter 6, because last week we studied the reading of Proverbs, Old Testament, chapter 3. And the Lord is, so to speak, continuing with a lesson by elaborating more in respects to faith and what it means to have true faith here in Matthew chapter 6. So I hope that you will enjoy this reading and this understanding in relation to how you can incorporate it through meditation in your day-to-day activities. So again, I thank you for joining me here today on The Sower. So before we get started, I'd like to ask you to pray for Magdalene Bombeck, who had an accident this past 2 weeks and banged up her face pretty good. She's in her early 80s, and she is an angel and a chaplain with the American Legion. She is a very sweet, godly woman, and doesn't deserve the plight of last winter falling and hurting her hip, and in the same place again, falling and smacking up her face. So we ask that you keep her into your prayers, and all elderly individuals and infants, toddlers and such that are learning to walk, that if they fall down, that they do not do serious damage. Also, I'd like you to pray for our clergy worldwide, especially those that are trying their best to reach the lost flock of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will have a message in the future that the Lord has started to put into my heart, and one of those situations where I tell him, I really don't want to do it, but he gets his way with me, and that's okay. It's a message that's going to need to be heard, and we'll get it out to you in due time. So be watching for that. Here in Matthew chapter 6, like I said, we are going to be dealing with the level of faith. So I'd like us to pray for our individual needs to have more faith and guidance from the scriptures in our lives. So if you will, let us bow our heads in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, like I said, since I'm mentally straining to fight off a migraine, let us jump right into our scriptures today. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you do, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, and they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with their sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your body, your whole body, will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you need all these things. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we see in Matthew chapter 6 an issue of refining and understanding ourselves and our relationship with God. We claim certain things in our life and in our heart, and to some degree, we believe it to be true. But I'm going to ask you one question about faith, and that is, do you believe what Christ says? Yes, I hesitated and waited for you to answer that within your own heart. So now I'm going to ask you another question. Then why do you not believe? I am a walking example of this faith, this walk with God, where I don't worry about what I eat, what I wear, the things that take care of themselves. 6 years now, and actually longer than that, probably closer to 20 years, but 6 years with sufficient need, I have not needed. God has provided everything that I've needed, from food to a roof over my head, to clothes on my back, to the monies I've needed to survive and carry this ministry forward. No, it hasn't been easy, but I have not needed anything. My health care is taken care of. If I need a ride someplace that is further than me to walk, it's provided, and I don't normally have to go very far to seek it. God provides and touches those around us to help us along. And if we are living his word and living his way and doing all we can to do his will in our lives for others, then we need to rest assured that through that faith, that level of faith that we have, each a measure of, that God will sufficiently grant us our needs to continue to do what it is he wants us to do. Where the gray area starts is when we start thinking that we are doing it ourselves. I provided this for my family. I did this. I did that. I got this. I got that. I. There is no I in the Trinity. Well, the word Trinity, yes. But in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, no. And you. That's four of you. Together. 24/7, 365. So where is your faith? Where is your heart? Well, that's what Christ is asking us here in chapter 6. He starts right off the bat talking about charitable deeds. And that's where we continue from last week coming into this lesson today. That in Proverbs chapter 3, he talked about giving of our first fruits back to the church, back to him. So here we see it again, but we see it that it's supposed to be done anonymously, which we did touch about last week also. Because when we do charity work and we go to these large organizations and work within these food banks and such like that, granted there is a need to do it, but it's not done anonymously. And some people that are there want to be seen by others, including those that are in need, that they're contributing to their welfare. Well, they are getting their just reward. However, when you go and supply some food and drop it off to somebody or some organization, and nobody knows that you're doing it, well, there's your reward coming from God. I'll give you an example of that. Many, many years ago, we're talking close to 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, I remembered hearing a knock on the door. And when I went to the door, around, didn't see anybody there. And I just happened to glance down because something caught my eye, and here it was a bag. And in that bag was a baker's dozen ears of corn. And I thought, well, that's pretty nice, as I pick it up and I look into it. And then I started looking around again, trying to see who might have dropped it off, because it didn't take me very long to get to the door. And as I'm looking up and down the street, my neighbor's house and porches, I see a bag on each of their porches as well. That was my first glimpse of what that scripture means, about don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And do it in secret, and God will reward you. Now, to this day, it took me great investigation, but I did find out who laid the bags of corn, ears of corn, on everybody's porch in the neighborhood. But they did it very sly. They even put a bag on their own door to take suspicion off of themselves. And so it took me a long time to figure out who it was. And when I did, well, it created a very special bond and friendship between that family and myself. Sometimes we don't know why the Lord has us do things and puts things into our hearts. But we need to do it. And also, when we pray, we need to be very careful of how we pray. Do we pray as the hypocrites do, with many words coming out of our mouths and from our hearts? Or are they sincere prayers? I mean, when I was growing up, I remember Sister Claudine saying to me one time, she says, Andrew, she says, why don't you pray for yourself? You're always praying for other people. And I said, because God already knows what I need, and he's provided it. I was just a child at this time, maybe a young teenager, 13, 14 years old, give or take, when she asked that. And she says, you know, God needs to hear from you what you need. So pray for yourself, too. Well, I still have difficulty today, and I'm 54 years old, pushing 55. And I still have a hard time praying for myself. because God is in me and with me every single day, just as he is with you. But she had some wisdom behind that. And that was another thing that we talked about last week in Proverbs chapter 3. And that is wisdom. And she was a wise woman. And she gave me a lesson that has taken me a lifetime to get the hang of and to understand. Sometimes our discernment doesn't come overnight. Sometimes it takes the trials and tribulations of life to bring us through it. We pray the Lord's Prayer at every service, at every meeting, at every possibility. We do the sign of the cross, even with our Protestant church here, because it shows an outward respect to God the Father, Christ the Son, and their loving and ever Holy Spirit. And it reaffirms of why we are praying. When we look through the scriptures, we need to be careful and we need to relent from certain aspects in our life. And that is in verse 16 through 18, where it talks about fasting. If we are fasting and then wanting to show others that we are fasting and telling others, oh no, I'm not eating today, I'm fasting. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not doing that in secret, and you're doing exactly the opposite of what Christ is telling you to do. He's telling you to wash your face and your hands and to show yourself as not fasting to others, let alone not telling them. So keep that in mind. Relent and hold back certain things in your heart and keep those in secret. And it's kind of ironic, in the King James Version Bible, it talks about the secret place where you pray and close your door. Behind you is your prayer closet. Now you know where I get the title for my prayer closet. So there you go, Matthew 6, 6. So let's move on. In verse 19 and 20, he talks about laying up earthly treasures where rust and moth and thieves break in and steal and destroy. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21 is the most important aspect of that, where it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, when you want that new car or you want that Xbox or SP3, 4, whatever it is now, when you want that new Galaxy iPad phone or tablet, wherever your heart is, that's where your efforts go. And we're not leaving certain things up to faith and trust in God. Some of those things, yeah, you've worked hard for it. You want to have something nice. But remember, don't get mad when somebody steals it from you or you drop it and it breaks and it's not insured or something else happens to it. Keep that in mind. God maybe didn't want you to have that. But he talks about the eye being the lamp of the body, and that if your eye is good, then the light inside of you is good and godly. I see a lot of people that are good people for the most part, but there's a dark side to most people. And you really don't see that coming out of them until a certain amount of time has passed. So you need to be very careful and not give your fully trust to people that you've just met right off the bat. Yes, there's a certain amount of trust that goes into friendships and acquaintances, but be on guard and look for the light in their heart. In other words, what comes out of their mouth, what comes their attitude towards other people under different circumstances. I mean, if they throw something into the trash or if they throw it into the street or down on the sidewalk, shows that they don't have God in them. If they throw it into the trash, then they care about the environment. If they're wolf whistling and being rude to a young lady walking down the street and being facetious, if I'm saying it correctly, sometimes it doesn't come out, facetious, there we go, you know that's where their heart is. If a cuss word comes out of their mouth and they're using the Lord's name in vain, again, their eye is full of darkness and their body is full of darkness. Question is, how much darkness is in them? So be on guard for that. We have just a few minutes left here, and we need to talk about faith. He says in verse 26, in the second part of it, he says, "Are you of not more value than they," meaning the sparrows, "that gather it, don't gather into the barns, don't sow, they don't reap, and yet the Heavenly Father provides for them?" Same thing with your stature. You can't add one more inch to your height. Well, I guess if you go and buy platform shoes, you can. But again, that's not what God wanted for you. He created you just as you are, perfect, no matter who and what you are perfect in His eyes. So don't change things that about yourself, because that's not what God created and wants for you. So that points back at that blackness in your eyes and your heart. Even though you may love God and Jesus, you're not following His ways and His will for you in your life, and you need to be careful about that. So don't be so vain. And that's the other aspect of this. He talks about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. And in verse 30, he says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" I like to say that more with an exclamation point than with a question mark, because by making the question, sometimes we just kind of shrug that off. No, I've got faith. But if we make it an exclamation point, it puts an emphasis on that. Do we have little faith? Yeah, it's still a question, but it makes us think a little bit more. So as we think about this, and remember what I told you at the beginning, where I don't worry about what I eat, what I drink, what I put on, the roof over my head. Yeah, I've got to work hard and do things, but I don't make the money that many people do. And yet, where I lack in that aspect, the need that I have is covered by my faith and my love in God, because I'm doing what He wants me to do. And as we look at the last, here in the last minute and a half, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Its own trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we add to that trouble because we worry about things that we cannot. And we worry about the aspects of what if. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you can what if yourself to death. So with that said, ask yourself, do you truly believe what Christ says? And if you do, then why do you not believe all and emphatically, beyond doubt, what He says is to be true? Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the very Reverend Dr. Overseer Andrew Patrick with the Celtic Cross Foundation of Ministry and the Evangelical Church of the Celtic Cross and your Protestant radio station here on the Celtic Cross Radio Network. Yes. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining me for The Sower. Good day.